Esplanade in its efforts to break through and engulf the town of Dundee. Waves battered at the shore, throwing high sheets of ghost-like spray. In the east, where the estuary met the incoming tide, a sinister, black and boiling eddy threatened to suck ships to their death. But none ventured out that night, and seamen huddled in portside bars, listening to the screaming gale, grateful to be safe on land. In the vaults, rat-infested tenements in the centre of the town, families huddled together, fearful that the storm would lift off roofs, breach walls or smash windows. Children clung to their mothers who flinched at each blast, which swept round flimsy doors and filled the hovels with an icy chill. Even in the comfortable turreted mansions of the men who owned the mills and factories in the city by the Tay, there were many furrowed brows.
"There'll be a fair amount of damage to repair when this blows itself out. How will that affect the profit margins?"
the magnates asked. The Exchange Coffee House stood on a corner overlooking Dundee Harbour. Normally very busy, tonight it was empty, and only the storm raged its way through the swinging doors as David Moody, tenant of the establishment, paused in his polishing of the brass-railed counter and raised his head to listen to the wind's threats.
"I hope Martha's got the sense to stay in Newport and not come home in this," he thought.
His worries were interrupted by the arrival of a brave patron, huddled in a thick coat and wiping his wet face with the end of a dripping scarf.
"My word, David, what a storm. There's chimney pots down all along the street. Oh my, there'll be some clearing up to do the morn."
He spoke with the cheerfulness of someone who had nothing to lose in the Holocaust, as he sank his moustache into one of David's steaming cups of coffee. Two children in their nightclothes stood close together at the bay window of the flat above David Moody's head. His daughter Lizzie was 6 years old, a serious-looking child with curling brown hair, high cheekbones and slanting green eyes under heavy lids that made her look like a little Eskimo. Her arm was placed protectively around the shoulders of her brother Georgie, 2 years younger, who had the delicacy of a consumptive, with pale, anxious eyes, blonde hair and translucent skin that should have belonged to a pretty girl. Georgie's fragility was a cause of concern to his family, for every winter he was plagued with a hacking cough. No one worried more about him than his sister, who cuddled him to her now as if trying to protect him from the storm. Lizzie was as strong as a little pony, as loving as a devoted mother, resilient and reliable, eager to grow up and help her parents, whom she adored. She and Georgie stared round-eyed at the masts of the tall ships moored in the dock below the flat. They creaked and bent like beleaguered trees beneath the tearing gale. When the children saw this, they shuddered and said, "Oh!" When the sheets of rain flooded over their window glass, they screamed in delighted unison and clutched each other. When, with an almighty crash, a chimney pot from next door smashed on the pavement, they clung even more tightly, but they were not really frightened, more energised and thrilled by the drama of it all. Being children, they had no notion that the storm might threaten their own lives. Their delight was interrupted by an angry voice.
"It's past your bedtime. What are you doing still up? Your ma'll give me a telling off when she comes home."
The wee maidservant came bursting into the room, and Lizzie pulled a face at her. Maggie Davidson was the eldest child of a poor family from the vaults, and, though she was only 11 years old, represented higher authority. Lizzie resented her, for she felt more than capable of looking after herself and Georgie. She could look after slow-witted Maggie as well, come to that. Maggie had been given a job by the children's mother, Martha, through pity.